Just a few decades ago, if you brought up aliens in a conversation, you'd be ostracized. I'm not inviting Nick to my parties anymore. He keeps talking about Area 51 and how Manuel Velikovsky was onto something. Every time he makes us watch scenes from Carpenter's They Live, he's scaring my friends, Julia. Aliens, deep space, light travel, all these topics are just the tip of a gigantic iceberg you and I call life. Nobody can know everything, but it seems that now we got a step closer. I'm Nick Blake, and today we take on exoplanets.
Space is the most taken-for-granted thing ever! You know how crazy it is, and it's above you every day, and it never comes up. If we all lived underground or indoors, there was only one place in the whole world where you could see space, you know how popular that shit would be? Everybody would travel to see space. You would just stand there and hold hands and look up and go, "Wah! There's no ceiling. This is fucking incredible. It's mind-blowing!" But instead, it's just there every day. You're like, "Oh, look, the Big Dipper. See that? Oh, it's great." People travel to see the fucking Grand Canyon. Like, "Dude, you gotta go to the Grand Canyon, man. Dude, it changed my life, man. I stood out there and saw that canyon. It was so immense. I just realized, how small my role in the universe really is." "Oh, really? Wow. Hey, how about all that shit?"
"What the are you talking about?
Those aren't light bulbs, motherfucker. Those are huge nuclear explosions billions of miles away. And it goes on forever. Do you know what forever means? It means this whole universe of hundreds of billions of galaxies might just be a part of one atom. It's in the cell of the balls of one guy who lives in another universe. It's part of one atom that's a cell of a ball and a guy. And it goes on and on and on and on forever! And there's no f***ing end! And you're looking at a ditch. You just drove 6 hours to look at a ditch. You're a f***ing dummy."
"Some people don't believe in aliens. I do believe in aliens. But I believe they gave up on people a long time ago. Wouldn't you? I think there's a few liberal aliens out there still hanging in. Well, hey, man, I think they're going to pull it together. I think we should help them and give them more technology." "No! Every time we do that, they blow it up. No! Because there is some convincing evidence of UFOs. The most convincing I saw was last summer, the Mexican Air Force, and a lot of people saw this. It was on CNN, it was on the cover of the New York Times. The Mexican Air Force got video footage of 11 flying saucers circling one of their jets and then taking off at an insane rate of speed. Yeah, and I saw that, I went, "F***. Mexico's got an Air Force?"
That was Joe Rogan bringing our attention to the issue of paying attention. NASA has just announced an almost revolutionary discovery. After 3 weeks of observation, the Spitzer Telescope and observatories around the world revealed a total of 7 planets circling TRAPPIST-1, a solar system some 40 light years away from ours. The size of each planet was deduced from the amount of starlight it blocked, while the mass was estimated from the way it pushed and pulled around by other planets in the system. Now, astronomers are focusing on whether the planets actually have atmospheres. If they do, they could reveal the first hints of life on the surfaces below. We linked up with Jeremy Lecomte, an astrophysicist from the University of Bordeaux, to get a better overview of the find.
"For the moment, so we also have their size. So actually, yeah, it's not that much information, but it's a lot because, you know, only with size and mass, we can already guess at the density of the planet. So we can already guess what it's made of. And for some of them, we already know that maybe there are hints that some may be more rocky and some may be more with high or like low density stuff like water. So already there is a lot of information only with that. And now, in the very near future, what we're going to know is more about the atmospheres because we have the chance that it's around a very tiny star. And it's really easy for us to maybe pick out the signal of the atmosphere. And maybe in the very near future, we'll be able to know what the atmosphere is made of. For the moment, we don't know if there is water. We know that there could be water, meaning that if there is H2O there, the conditions make that it's possible that this water may be liquid. So that's an interesting thing. And we think that if there is liquid water and other stuff, it's possible that life as we know it emerged. Then there's the other question is, if there is no water, is it that there is no life there? But I guess we don't know, but there are good hints that it's really difficult to have life if you don't have water.
That was Jeremy LeConte giving us a brief rundown of the search of exoplanets in the habitable zone of TRAPPIST-1. We'll never be 100% sure until we go there, so said Michael Guillonon, astrophysicist at the University of Liège in Belgium, who was in part responsible for the discovery. That sounds like such a sci-fi wet dream come true. Unfortunately, it will have to stay on the back burner for a little bit. Since it's 40 light years away, in other words, at just 10% light speed, it would take 400 R-years to fly there and dig around. So it's a one-way ticket at the moment, essentially. On the other hand, if humans do figure it out and they do make this travel reasonable, and what are we expecting to find there then? Human-like creatures, aliens, and if we do actually find something like that, what can our civilization bring to the negotiating table? Here's George Carlin to give us a clue.
In case you haven't heard, the latest disaster for the rest of the universe is that the United States is going to go to Mars, okay? Oh, yeah. We're going to go to Mars. And then, of course, we're going to colonize deep space with our microwave hot dogs and plastic vomit, fake dog shit and cinnamon dental floss and lemon-scented toilet paper and sneakers with lights in the heels. And all these other impressive things we've done down here. But let me ask you this. What are we going to tell the Intergalactic Council of Ministers the first time one of our teenage mothers throws her newborn baby into a dumpster, huh? How are we going to explain that to the space people? How are we going to let them know that our ambassador was only late for the meeting because his breakfast was cold and he had to spend half an hour punching his wife around the kitchen? Now, what are they going to think when they find out it's just a local custom that over 80 million women in the third world have had their clitorises forcibly removed in order to reduce their sexual pleasure so they won't cheat on their husbands? Can't you just sense how eager the rest of the universe is for us to show up?
That was the genius of George Carlin explaining how we as a civilization are probably lagging behind anything we might find out there in space. Scientists across the world, more notably Stephen Hawking, have already made their predictions about making contact of the First Order, and it does not end well for our little Eden-like planet. The doom and gloom is definitely in the air when military is involved, which is in almost everything that has anything to do with space, always citing the same excuse. Oh, security, protection, you know, defense, we're defending you. Many, however, tend to disagree. The most vocal of the group have been silenced and deliberately discredited. However, some have managed to pass on their valuable insight. Here's Bill Hicks with his.
The world is like a ride at an amusement park, and when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud, and it's fun for a while. Some people have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride. And we kill those people. Shut him up. We have a lot invested in this ride. Shut him up. Look at my furrows of worry. Look at my big bank account and my family. This has to be real. It's just a ride. But we always kill those good guys who try and tell us that. You ever notice that? And let the demons run amok. But it doesn't matter because it's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
That was Bill Hicks explaining how we as humans can thrive and prosper in terms of technology, social equality, education, without war, starvation, and disease. We just have to come together and decide as a group to do the best of our ability, and then maybe, maybe, the possibility of meeting rogue aliens would not sound as scary anymore. I've been Nick Blake, and you've been listening to As If.